Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
And I'm Puma.
And we are still in the middle of our love, dating, and relationships series, and we're talking again about guarding the heart. This is part three. And so, yeah, let's dive into this third part, which actually kind of gets a little personal. If you were here with us the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about just how our hearts are both deceitful, we're self-deceived, and that part of guarding your heart is not just doing bad things, but keeping what is good, keeping that in. And so, yeah, here we are in part three. So let's dive into these questions. So, yeah, Puma, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because we're going over some of the survey questions. So for my master's, I did a survey of 150 plus, I would say, Christian, but they're just millennials who grew up in the church. The majority of them are Christians. But I found that we have some real triggers with the phrase guarding your heart. And so I'm going to ask you some questions about this because I'm kind of one a little bit confused. I know that I'm a millennial, but a lot of my peers are confused with this term too. So hopefully you can share some insight into why there's so much confusion and maybe even animosity. I'm going to read you the first question and then just kind of see what you think about it. So one of my questions, I had 50 of these questions. The first one was, what do you think guarding your heart means to you and how you personally protect your own heart? So that's the question.
Okay.
And here's some of the phrases I got from, again, mostly Christian people. We had, I think, three atheists or two agnostics, one atheist out of the 150 people. So someone says, oh man, that phrase. I'm not a fan of it. I believe the idea of guarding your heart is getting at being wise and not allowing our emotions to sway us so easily, which I can get on board with. However, that does not mean you should just ignore our own feelings and push through. God gave us feelings for a reason, and we just have a tendency to let them run. Okay, so that's the question. Why would somebody not be a fan of this phrase? And I guess they kind of go on to say that feelings are important. And actually, let me read another one because let's get a bigger picture of these. So another person says, I think this is a phrase, the phrase guard your heart. I think it is a phrase that evangelicals use to softly shame women. It may have started off as something unassuming, but Christians have abused it. And now it means nothing to me but annoyance. Is that a really offensive phrase, guard your heart? I mean, it's biblical, right?
It is biblical, yeah, from Proverbs 4:23, where Solomon is talking to his adult children, so he's talking probably to his Gen Z, millennial-aged children. And he says, you know, above everything else, you know, guard your heart, protect your heart, for it is a wellspring, is the center of your life. Your whole life flows out of what's going on inside your heart, inside your mind. So how you think, what you think about, the things that you allow to influence you, the things that kind of capture your heart affections and all that. So emotions are great, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I like the question. I big fan of emotion.
Yeah, feelings.
Feelings aren't bad. So
is guarding your heart like stifling feelings? I mean, is that?
Well, we've turned so much in our culture into feeling. You ask somebody, hey, you know, how was that movie? And they don't analyze it in detail. They talk about how they felt about the movie.
Mm, true.
You know, so we speak about things today through our feelings. That's sort of how the cultural tone has been. And so, you know, for better or for worse, that's sort of where we are. And so to talk about any topic, it seems like we can't talk about it without speaking through our feelings. We have a hard time just being objective about something. Mm-hmm. I can't say, well, that movie, I thought the plot was a little shallow and the character development really didn't, develop. And so the characters really weren't interesting. We don't want to analyze a movie that way. We say, oh, that was fun, or I enjoyed it, or I thought it was stupid. Mm-hmm. I made me cry or whatever. We speak through our feelings.
So. Right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I'm going to read some more, but I think you're onto something that this is a emotional word, but it seems very, feeling oriented. I'm personally offended. You hurt my feelings with this question.
Well, and two, sometimes, I mean, we're people, right? Mm-hmm. We're people, and mm-hmm. so we have feelings. And part of the history, especially in recent history, especially for us men, you know, the kind of a view of men, you know, decades ago was that men shouldn't have feelings, right? Which should just be kind of strong and tough and
right, stoic.
And not, just kind of. And you know, I get that. I think there's, you know, sometimes you got to just set your feelings aside and just kind of do what needs to be done and not let your feelings kind of dictate whether or not you're going to be responsible or whether or not you're going to be truthful. You know, you just got to do it. But, you know, honestly, we really do. We are complete people. You know, it's not just how we think. It's also how we feel. And so not we shouldn't discount how we feel. It's right. just we shouldn't let our feelings lead the way. I always tell young people, your feelings are not your friend. Your feelings will always lie to you. You feel something, but that doesn't mean that what you're feeling is true to the situation. And we've all had instances like this where, you know, I felt like somebody was sort of into me, and I totally misread them, right? I wasn't really being objective because I allowed my longings to start dictating how I'm going to see things and perceive things instead of actually the evidence that right in front of me. So this happens all the time, not just in relationships, but with everything.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, even to part of guarding your heart and the phrase, you know, and maybe it is offensive. I guess I don't want to be so bullheaded and say that phrase is never going to hurt anybody's feelings. Because it does. To guard your heart means, one, that our heart is worth guarding, but two, that there are things that can influence and hurt our heart. And some people, and myself included, don't like feeling weak or that I'm not guarded.
Being perceived as weak in front of other people. And,
right.
you know, not going to discount, you know, someone's past experiences. I'm sure that, you know, some probably really have been hurt. Maybe somebody has, you know, shared some of these thoughts. Maybe they were good intention. Maybe they had, you know, some malice or, you know, some, you know, desire to do harm. But we can't discount, you know that. So I feel for those that maybe have been hurt by someone using maybe a Bible verse or maybe some religious language and said, hey, you know what, let me put you in a box. Let me kind of control you. Let me kind of beat you down. And so I can understand why there would be some misunderstandings or some hurt feelings. And those feelings, you know, those feelings are real. They just don't determine reality in which we should, how we should live life. So,
well, and that brings me to one of these phrases that I wrote down, because you're right. People are hurt. And there are a lot of individuals, I think, who really have baggage. One person writes about this question, right? And they say, I think it's a garbage concept, honestly. Guarding your heart taught me I was always at risk of being taken from. It taught me to close off and disconnect from people in case they would take advantage of me. And I read that and I'm like, wow, yeah, there are some real hurts here. And my heart goes out to these individuals. So there's even some more. Let me read a few more here. I think it's an overused Christian phrase to explain not easily falling in love or lusting after others. I hate this phrase. It comes with a lot of bad doctrine. Another person said, I find it a very toxic idea, guarding your heart. Love is not a limited resource. My love for my husband is not diminished by the love I have for others in my life, including friends and, yes, even exes. And she goes on to say, I'm even great friends with some of my exes. Love is great and powerful, and guarding your heart makes you poor and mean.
Oh. Yeah, see, obviously there's a lot of history, you know, to that.
Yeah.
They're equating the heart with love. They're in that particular response. You know, we're not talking about love specific. We're talking about the heart. And part of Solomon's intention when he was talking to his own children, and he wants to help them live a prosperous, purposeful life. And, you know, the tagline for our podcast is Jesus, life, and everything in between. And part of the reason for that tagline is I'm convinced that our life is about Jesus. Jesus is life, and that I have a life, and that the life that I have is in relationship to him, in relationship to other people. And so everything in between is all the people, all the relationships, and all the interactions that come between me and Jesus and me and all the people that I know. And so this is really the heart of the Bible, and even, you know, the heart of Proverbs as Solomon is talking to his kids. So he's saying, you are so valuable, you are so special, you are so important, that whatever controls your heart controls your life.
Yeah.
And so be careful where you invest your heart be careful about what ideas you allow to influence your life. Be careful, you know, so that comes through media today, that comes through people, that even comes through our own sinful hearts. We had, I think, discussed in the previous podcast that Jeremiah says that our hearts are deceitful and beyond cure. That, and this is why we can't trust our feelings. Not, we're not saying don't discount our feelings or shouldn't throw them away. It is just our feelings are just that. It is an emotional response to something. Mm. But that emotional response doesn't mean that what we're responding to was right or true. We still need to think about it. And so your life, you are important. You are important to God. You are important to the people around you. And so guarding you is vital. Because if you don't protect the things you think about, the influences that come into your life, there is a world of hurt and evil out there that wants to destroy you. Mm. The Bible is very, very clear that we have an enemy, an adversary. He is a father of lies. He is a deceiver. Jesus said in John that he is a murderer from the beginning. He wants nothing but to destroy you and I, because you and I matter and are valuable because of who we are in God's sight.
Yeah.
And so this is why my life is of utmost importance in what I do in protecting the core of who I am, the things I think about, which includes, you know, my emotions and all of that, is so, so important. So this particular response, I mean, there's a lot of hurt there, and I feel for this person because, you know, they have been damaged, they have been hurt or attacked, or their soul has been crushed, or someone has tried to use them or abuse them, or put them down, or to disrespect them by maybe using some of these ideas. And we shouldn't discount that the enemy wants to take what God says, which is true, and twist it and pervert it and make it something that's not. And so, you know, to get us to think that we don't need to guard our heart, that's a lie of the evil one.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point too. And actually, one of the people in this said that the term guarding your heart has been used and weaponized by the church. And, you know, I hear that and I'm with you. My heart breaks because there is a lot of hurting people that took the survey, and there has been some real emotional trauma, and probably by Christians, probably by other people in the church. And yet, unfortunately, because people have been hurt by, you know, alleged Christians, they kind of view that as God. I mean, to say that the Christian church has weaponized this term to guard your heart, to suppress women, and to limit us, to put us in a box. Another participant in the survey wrote that when I guard my heart, it means I have to become discerning about who I share myself with. Will the person be present with me? Now I second guess everybody because of the damage from the church.
Just because somebody takes something that God says is true and uses it in a way that maybe is not appropriate, or applies it in ways that are not helpful or not, you know, loving the person. These are the kind of things that, and I can be just as guilty of that. I mean, we talk about, you know, our hearts, you know, what's in my heart and what is my desire for other people. And do I just want to, you know, tell people, yeah, you should do this to make myself, you know, look good, or to make myself feel better. And this is a temptation I think we all have, that we use things, even truthful things sometimes, to promote ourselves, to demote or demean somebody else. And sometimes it's so subtle, we don't even realize that we're doing it. See, this is the deception of the sinful heart, that my heart always lies to me. It always tells me things that are not true about myself, and it kind of covers up or suppresses the things that are true. You know, we have an enemy that wants to almost, highlight those things and keep us away from God's intent, from God's purposes, from God's design. Because I believe the Bible is God's word, and he gave it to us, and it is good, and it is beneficial. It is a blessing to us. And so the verse, you know, Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. That is a good, true, beautiful verse that God has given to us. And so what is God's intention for us in that? It is not for us to be hurt by it, but it is there to help us. And Solomon gave it to his sons. And Solomon wanted his sons to grow and to flourish and to be loved and to have a life that is meaningful and purposeful, a life that's oriented around the heart and perspective and wisdom of God. And that's why he wrote that down, and that's why God preserved it for us. So the verse is good. How it's used sometimes in people's lives, that is where it gets off. And so, you know, this is where, you know, some of the hurts, I think, that people have. It's not the truth that God intends, but it is sometimes how people have used it. One of the things, too, I think is so important is that we are, rarely are we aware of our own hearts. You know, Proverbs says that, you know, the heart of a person is a deep well. Who can understand it? I mean, even I myself have a hard time sometimes really dissecting what is my true motivation for the things that I do. Am I trying to be manipulative? Am I trying to get some advantage in this relationship? Am I trying to, you know, promote myself? Or, and this is true of men or women. This is all of us. I mean, we all have this tendency, you know, this, you know, orientation of our heart, the sinful orientation where our hearts, our heart motives can easily be twisted. We can easily convince ourselves something that is not true, or convince ourselves of something that we want, and we can find some good reasons to justify it, even at the expense of someone else. I mean, you know, so to manipulate, manipulate people relationally. If I, you know, we someone that maybe has an emotional bent in a certain area, sometimes even unassuming, we don't even realize it, that we're kind of manipulating to get them to, you know, favor us or move in our direction. And so this is why understanding how valuable we are and that the center of us is our heart will help us maybe think not so much even about people out there, but about myself. What's going on inside my own heart? What is, you know, what has taken up residency in my heart? What ideas and values and perspectives?
Yeah, well, and this brings me into the next question here, too, because I do think when it comes to guarding our heart and really just my dating relationship life, does the Bible have a say? Or more pointedly, does God have a say? Well, one of my questions in the survey was question 32, and it said, do you believe that God has an agenda for dating, or is this a gray area? And some of the responses kind of shocked me, because these are, again, 95% Christian evangelical believe in Jesus. And just to hear what someone they said about, does God have an agenda or have a thought on dating? And someone says, dating isn't even biblical. It's silly to think that God cares who you do or don't date. And someone else, I think, kind of like modesty, it's up to whatever God convicts that person. Someone says, no, God has bigger things to think about. And someone else, well, the Bible really only talks about arranged marriages, so what are you going to base it on? Others say, no, I believe the church has an agenda, not God. Someone says, unsure. I used to think he cared a lot, but now I'm not even sure how he could care. Someone else, the only agenda that I can get behind is that you don't intentionally hurt others. I hope God feels the same way. Someone else, you know, has a ha-ha. They say, this is completely up, completely personal, unless that person is convinced to give up their goal and replace it with the church's agenda in the name of God. And there are so many more people, you know, up to individuals, you know, I don't think God cares as long as you're loving and consensual. God doesn't have an agenda for dating in your life. That's a gray matter. And so I'm curious for you. I mean, we talk about guarding your heart, and maybe this is a whole other podcast, but, you know, does God care how we guard our heart or how we date? Are those the same? Are they different? I don't know. What are your thoughts?
No, that's a very good question. And it's not just, you know, does he care about my dating life? Does he care about my life at all? Does he care about my finances? Does he care about how I use my time? Does he care about anything in my life? And so at the heart of that question really gets back to who or what is God? Who do I understand God to be? We had done a previous series on the names of God, and there's a lot that we could talk about, but it fundamentally, I think, comes back down to, you know, who do I understand God to be? So if I change the question, I said, do you think your father or your mother cares about who you date? Think about somebody that you have a relationship with in your life. Think about, you know, your best friend, or, you know, your brother or sister, someone that, you know, really cares about, someone that you know really cares about you. If you asked that person if they have a concern or if they care about who you date, would they say, no, do whatever you want, however you want? Mm-hmm. Would they say, well, I do think that there's certain people you should and some certain people you shouldn't? Mm-hmm. You see, it comes back to, does God care about my life? Mm-hmm. You know, as a question. I think as we read the Bible, I think the screaming answer is absolutely yes. Hmm. I think God cares about us so intimately and so deeply that we're so unaware of how thoroughly concerned he is about us. He says that the hairs of our head are numbered, that the days of our life are ordained, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 8, you know, he crowned us with glory and honor. Genesis, you know, chapter 1, we're created in his image. We're created with value, purpose, and meaning. You see, he cares intimately and deeply about every part of our life.
Yeah.
And if our heart is the center of our life, and whatever controls my heart controls my life, then he cares about what's controlling my life. He cares about what is influencing my life. This is why you see throughout the Bible how important it is, just the people that we hang out with and the influences that we surround ourselves dictate everything about us, where we go, how we go, who we. So the book of Job has a situation. He has these friends come around, and they're giving him all kinds of sort of not wise advice. You know, don't trust God. Job, you sinned. This is your own fault. You know, you deserve this, blah, 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 blah. Job's like, I haven't done anything wrong. I can't think of anything I've done wrong. You know, his wife, Job's wife, says, curse God and die. Wow. Just curse God and die. Right, Job?
Didn't guard his heart there.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just saying that it's easy for us to see things around in people and make assumptions about why they're happening. But God sees everything about us, knows everything about us, and he wants what is absolutely best for us. He came to bring us life. He came to bring us purpose. He wants us to have a life of joy and peace and prosperity, not death, destruction, and pain and suffering. So when it comes to relationships, does God care? Yeah. You know, in the Bible, there was a lot of arranged marriages. That was sort of how they do it in our culture. I mean, honestly, there's part of me that would love to do that. I know that
you have 8 kids.
You know, but part of it is too, you know, I've watched my kids grow up, and we study our kids. And, you know, we don't know everything about them, but their personalities, their styles, what their needs. You know, as a parent, I care deeply about who would be a good fit, or what would be a good complement. These are kind of the things I think about. I don't always verbalize them, but these are kinds of things I think about because I care about my kids. They're important to me. And God certainly loves us and cares about who we date and how we date and who we go through life with, and because that is going to influence everything. And the ultimate influence is how that influences our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus.
That's a good word. I love even too just hearing about God's heart, and like you shared some scripture, just how can God not care? And not because he's controlling or he's a jerk, but because he loves us. I mean, he really is invested in us. And that includes who we date. You know, bad company does corrupt good character, Paul says in 1 Corinthians. And I think it's important to realize that a loving father would care. An unloving father who just checked out, he wouldn't care. So yeah, you're right. It goes back to, do we believe God loves us?
You see, if you have a friend, someone in your life that cares about you, they're going to care. If you have someone that's offering you meth, your loving friends around you would say, I think you should not go there.
right?
Otherwise, they're not loving friends. Mm-hmm. Because they care about, because they know how these things are going to influence you. I mean, you could pick any category of life, but those that truly love you around you are willing to come. You know, Proverbs says that the wounds of a friend are better than the kisses of an enemy. That when someone loves you enough to say something, even though it might hurt your feelings, it might cause you to get angry or upset, but they say something true that's going to help you move forward because they're your friend. And you have that level of trust, you know, versus someone that just tells you what you want. Someone that's going to flatter you with kisses and flatter you with all kinds of nice pleasantries and let you continue to go down a destructive path.
Yeah. No, that's a good word. And I appreciate you, Puma, for sharing. And thank you guys so much for tuning in. I know there's a lot more to discuss, a lot more questions to get into. Yeah. It's kind of a flyby.
We took the lid off the box. So there's a lot of areas we could.
Yeah. Next week, we're talking about responsibility. I have some responsibility questions in terms of our relationships. And yeah, do we care? Do we have any responsibility in guarding someone else's heart? I mean, that's a real question the church has a lot of questions about. But no, I love what you said, Puma, that it really goes back to our view of God. And does God love us? And if God loves us and cares about our hearts, should we not care about our hearts too? Right. And just that chain of responsibility because we are valuable. Mm. So that's a good word. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in again. We just appreciate you guys. And yeah, feel free to like it, to like and share this with your friends. You know, we would love to further get the word out. And hopefully, you know, you've benefited a little bit and know and love God a little bit better after these podcasts. So yeah, if you have any questions, please email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to touch base and just hear your questions, maybe just hear your story. So yeah, feel free to reach out to us. And yeah. I guess we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.